and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney and Ashley Dockang here with you as usual to break down the latest news and notes and scandals in professional sports.
Ooh, scandals.
I don't know why I said scandals. We don't have any scandals.
I know. I was like looking out at the rundown. I'm like,
you can go to TMZ.com if you want to go and get into scandals. But we have a lot of DFS for you today is what we got. Michael Clifford from Project Roto joins us. He's talking NHL DFS because there's 11 games on the ice. And then Chris and I getting greedy with it. It's basketball is back. So we're doing some NBA DFS. Just 3 games on the hardwood. We're going to break down our favorite plays and potentially situations to avoid Cleveland.
Did you think a year ago, like,
that we'd still have jobs here after some of the things we say? No, I didn't.
Game 1 of the World Series in Cleveland, the same night that they're going to raise the NBA championship banner in Cleveland. We pick on that city all the time, like all the time. So good on Cleveland.
It's like Brandon Finnegan of cities.
I mean, pitches right close to Cleveland, giving up bombs in Cincinnati that travel to Cleveland. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're going to start with Arian Foster because just sporadically last night, it was just announced that he was done. He's retiring from the game of football after, I don't know if it's coincidentally, after Jay Ajayi's 2 back-to-back 100-yard rushing games.
He probably realized, I'm done.
No, he had a good quote. He's like, there comes a time where I believe it's your body doesn't match your motivation to play. So just mentioning that his injuries have caught up to him. He can't seem to stay healthy. He has realized he cannot perform at the level that he would like to. So he's calling it a career, a wonderful career at that, though.
Absolutely. Listen, we pick on Arian Foster a little bit around here, but let's give him some love for a fantastic career. I mean, you see the career stats there, 6,527 yards on the ground. That's the second most ever from a running back who was undrafted. So, and this guy is legit. He was legit. I mean, the 54 touchdowns, his best season really in 2010, just over 1,000 yards, 1,600 yards on the ground, and then 600 in the air, 66 catches. He won a lot of people some fantasy football championships that season, and that's why we were always just so, you know, some people, especially Pat Mayo, I know he's pretty bummed probably today, but I mean, this is good news. You don't have to sit around and wonder if Arian Foster is going to come back, if he's going to play, because there's always that upside that you just want to put Arian Foster in your lineup. But yeah, it's good on Arian Foster. He had a great career. I love hearing those stories, undrafted players, not just in football, but in sports, just to be able to come up and just have a very successful career. So congratulations to Arian Foster, and you know what, we'll probably see him like on the desk someday talking football.
Absolutely. There was a picture actually that I saw on Instagram last night. It was Tom Brady and Antonio Brown talking to each other after the game, and it was like the 199th pick or 95th pick or whatever, the 2 sixth round guys, like, don't count anyone out. And Arian Foster definitely falls into that category of being undrafted.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Sticking with his former team, the Texans.
Yeah, let's
not so good.
Not so good. Brock Osweiler, man. I know that we're supposed to talk about Lamar Miller. Sorry, our producer, Raj. 11 carries, 61 yards, no touchdowns last night. Banged up his right shoulder, was in and out of the game for the entire time. And then the pass game was just completely stagnant, and you can attribute the woes for their offensive weapons to Brock Osweiler. I believe he had 60 yards passing after the first half. Yikes, just 131 yards all game, no touchdowns. That's the lowest passing yard total for any quarterback who attempted 40 or more pass attempts.
There's really not much else to say about that. I mean, Denver fans have to be sitting there watching that football game yesterday and just being like, oh, I'm so glad that we didn't pay up for this guy because he just looks really bad. And it makes everybody in this offense look bad. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, just another really kind of invisible game from this guy. I know Adam Azer came on last week and said this, he will have a bad game against Denver. I mean, that's expected. But look at this. I mean, 390 yards, 3 touchdowns. It's not fantastic. But he does have Detroit coming up. 18 touchdowns they've allowed to receivers. That's number one in football. So maybe an opportunity there for Brock to get things going with this, with DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. And they got Jacksonville after that, and Oakland and San Diego. So there's some really good matchups coming up for Houston. And again, with Lamar Miller, he's dinged up. He's got a shoulder injury. We don't know much right now as we are live, but you know what? We could see this guy maybe miss a couple games, and that's not good news because Alfred Blue was getting in there a lot yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
And he was running okay. But again, the defense, the run defense, not spectacular from either team yesterday. Both teams were really running, and I guess that leads us to our next segue with Booker, who just looks great. Like, Devontae Booker looks good. And he's starting to really take away from CJ Anderson, whether you like it or not.
Okay.
He's taking away from him.
Here's what I'm going to say about this. Yes, Devontae Booker outsnapped CJ Anderson. Whatever. 35-28.
Yep.
Sure, he outcarried him. 17-16 only. But Anderson ripped off 24 more yards. So what that means to me is, yes, Booker is getting in the game much more, but they're not using him as the target in the offense. They're using him more in blocking schemes or as a decoy.
Sure.
So CJ Anderson still has his value. But what I will say about this offense, CJ Anderson is 25 years old. Devontae Booker is 24 years old. This bodes very well for this team moving forward. You kind of have a Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman situation where you have two backs that can do damage and you can keep them, I guess, rested every series, switching them in and out, which is what Denver did.
It's a fantastic situation for a team to have. It's just not fantasy friendly. I mean, yesterday, Devontae Booker scores a touchdown from the one. CJ Anderson owners are pulling their hair out because they're like, that would go to CJ. CJ should have a couple touchdowns. So, and this is going to continue to happen, especially with these great matchups coming up. San Diego, Oakland, and New Orleans. Those are three fantastic matchups for Denver. So I expect them to continue to split carries, and Booker's going to be involved. So in my opinion, that doesn't make CJ Anderson, a confident RB1. Maybe he is this week, you know, with six teams being on bye. Next week with six teams being on bye, but this is tough. It's tough to start him with confidence and know that he's just going to get all those points that he used to get.
Start him with confidence. Start him with confidence.
Play him, but the upside's capped.
There's no point in sitting on the fence about it. You have to go with what you think. If you waver back and forth again and again, fine. If you go with CJ Anderson, that's your pick. Stand by it. If it turns out that Booker starts to be more productive, sure, just slot him in there if you happen to have both, or if you're playing DFS, there's always a chance to change your mind. But there's no point sitting on the fence.
No.
It'll just drive you crazy.
You got to play him, and you're not benching him. But I think you can play Booker, too, is what the point is.
I know.
Hunter Henry.
That's what you can't play.
That's what you can't play.
Concussion protocol.
Hunter Henry dealing with a concussion. 2 weeks ago, they played Denver. He led the team in targets with 8, catches with 6, yards with 83, had a touchdown. And now it looks like he may not be able to play in that game. This is not good news for anybody in San Diego's offense. I mean, Tyrell Williams, that was his worst game ever a couple weeks ago. He only had 3 catches. Travis Benjamin probably going to get shut down. And Antonio Gates, though. Gates did have 10 targets, 5 catches last week. So maybe he can be something, but I'm staying clear from everybody in this offense. Even Melvin Gordon, he has had double-digit fantasy points in every single game this season, except for the game that he played against Denver 2 weeks ago. It was just shy of 10, so not a good situation for any San Diego players.
Antonio Gates needs to take off his glasses, mustache, nose, disguise, and stop being a decoy now, and actually has to get ready to play. You said he had 10 targets the other day, so that he's used to being involved in the offense, but I think that this is a good situation because we just talked about Booker and Anderson. Yeah. You don't really know which way to go. You don't really know who's going to get the targets, carries, etc. But now, Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry, I had both of them on my team.
And you didn't know what one to play.
You kind of have to go back and forth. Yeah. So now you just start Antonio Gates. Great.
Sure.
No problem.
Absolutely.
Conundrum over.
Giddy up.
You know who has a conundrum?
Michael Florio. Because that guy just makes things up, I think. You know, remember at the start of the year when he said that Marshawn Lynch was coming back and he would be back roughly around week 4 or 5? Like, I feel like this guy makes things up from Pro Football Talk. I understand he's very credited. He's a good guy. But I part of me thinks he just is, like, pulling for hits. Because why would the Philadelphia Eagles want Torrey Smith? I don't understand. I understand that people are maybe acquiring about Torrey Smith.
This guy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit upset because I don't feel like Philadelphia is going to give up Nelson Agholor, a guy that they drafted in the second round
who's
having issues catching the ball, but at least he has more catches than Torrey Smith. They're both deep threats, and it is interesting. I'm sure that the Eagles, as Ashley's falling down in her chair, I'm sure that the Eagles are interested in a deep threat guy who can catch, maybe a little bit more reliable, but for me, I don't think that they should give up on a guy. I mean, look at the Titans giving up on Dorial Green-Beckham, and look at him start to come in on his own.
Yeah.
So I think there's some time, but there is a connection there. Chip Kelly did draft Nelson Agholor last season, so
you know who
maybe
also,
there's something small there.
You know who also makes things up? Me. Apparently,
the trade probably happened in half an hour.
I just lied at the beginning of the show. I have to clarify. I said Brock Osweiler was the lowest passing total for 40 pass attempts or more. He was second worst. The worst was Jesse Palmer, 110 yards.
Oh, Jesse
My
Palmer.
Bad.
I saw
My
him
bad.
One time in a pub.
How'd that go?
It was okay.
Did he sign your shirt?
I asked him who the best rookie would be. He said Tavon Austin. He wasn't.
We got to get out of here. We'll be back coming up next, NHL DFS on FSD. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. A little bit giddy, a little bit off the script in the first segment, but now it's time to get down to business.
Let's get serious. 11
games on the ice in the NHL. So Michael Clifford joins us to talk about his favorite DFS plays for the evening. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Very well.
Yeah, we're doing better now, buddy. Project Rotozone. Let's talk some hockey. 11 games on the ice. We really haven't really dug deep into the NHL season in terms from DFS, but this is a big night, as Ashley said, 11 games. Michael, where do you start when you're doing your lineups? Are you looking at goalies? Are you looking at teams at back-to-backs? Like, how are you constructing your lineups tonight?
When it's a big slate like this, you always look for some of the weaker defensive teams first. Those are always the ones you want to target, especially if you're in your cash games. So you always want to pick on teams like Arizona and Ottawa, and they're both on the road tonight, so that's kind of where you want to go. And then you also look for teams that might be going through a lot of injuries. Dallas is a great example of that tonight. They're missing literally about half their forwards. So when you're on a really big slate, when you're playing your cash games, you kind of want to look for the easiest matchup first and kind of, you know, work your way backwards from there.
All right, so you mentioned Dallas. Very depleted. Just put Alex Hemsky on there. I don't know if Jason Spezza is going to play. The goaltending's been pretty shaky over the past couple of years. Are you looking at any Jets tonight?
Yeah, I mean, the Jets kind of didn't look that great in the Heritage Classic, but I think they kind of turned around tonight. You know, Dallas is missing so many guys. They lost Janmark and Eakin before the season. They're going to be without Hemsky, Pudler, Sharp tonight. It doesn't look like Spezza is going to play either, so that's a lot of forward depth missing. And they've always been like a high event team that's allowed a lot of shots, and as you mentioned, the goaltending isn't very good either. So that seems like a prime matchup for Winnipeg tonight. And Patrick Laine, I mean, you look at his price on FanDuel, it's only $5,000. And he's about the same price or a little bit cheaper than the lesser options like Troy Brouwer or Zach Smith. So he's a guy that I'm really looking forward to using tonight on FanDuel. You can use him on DraftKings, but he's more expensive there. He's about $6,200 or $6,300, but I just can't get away from his price on FanDuel. It's a great matchup. He should be getting lots of minutes tonight, especially on the power play. I don't see how the Jets don't score a few goals, and at his price, I can't get away from him.
Yeah, you always like the softer pricing on FanDuel, and sometimes you get some really, really great bargains.
Oh, but yeah, if you look around, for sure.
But we all know that you need to construct your lineup sometimes just using those big dogs, the guys that you know are going to score points, even if it eats into your budget. So who are you looking at the big names tonight?
Yeah, I think one guy, he's a little bit cheaper on DraftKings, but he's still fairly expensive on FanDuel, is Anze Kopitar. Los Angeles is at home to Columbus tonight. I know Los Angeles hasn't necessarily looked great, but if you look at kind of their underlying numbers or possession stats and some or things like that, they're, you know, amongst the league leaders again this year. Columbus hasn't been terrible, but they're kind of turning into what the Ottawa Senators were last year, which is a very high event team. And high events means lots of shots for, but also lots of shots against. So I really think that top line for Los Angeles can get a couple goals here tonight. I know Columbus went into Dallas and kind of ruined things for people on Saturday night. But here tonight, it's a tough matchup against Los Angeles. So if I'm going to pay up for somebody at center, particularly on FanDuel, I'm looking at Anze Kopitar tonight.
Yeah, he's 4 points already.
Yeah, and yeah, he does. Columbus can give up some goals. Michael, let's talk. You talked earlier about just bad defensive teams. I know Brian Elliott finally picked up his first win as a Flame yesterday. This is a back-to-back. They're giving up 4 goals per game as a team. Jaden Schwartz back into the lineup, missed the first couple games, but his price really hasn't caught up to him. Are you looking at him at all, or maybe Tarasenko?
Yeah, Schwartz is a really interesting option because, you know, if you believe that he's a guy that can get 25 goals, 6 points in a full season, 82 games, which I think is very doable. He's done it once and he was close again another season, so I think that's about where he should be. He's pretty underpriced on both sites, especially FanDuel, where he's just 5,100, but he's pretty cheap on DraftKings as well. And like you mentioned, Calgary's in town tonight. They played last night. They went to that shootout against Chicago, which is a really good game anyways. But he's on the second line, what they call the second line anyway, with Vladimir Tarasenko. They should get a lot of offensive zone starts. It looks like he's on the power play with Tarasenko as well. So considering how cheap he is and the situation that St. Louis is in tonight, especially with his line mates, I think Schwartz is another one of those guys that you can't really get away from in cash games.
Well, we've talked about all the offensive weapons that you're targeting. What about on the defensive end? Because equal opportunity to get some big points there and steal some games if you pick the right guys.
Yeah, exactly. And FanDuel's been kind of soft on their pricing on defensemen so far this year. If you look, John Klingberg is still only about $5,000, but Rasmus Ristolainen as well. I believe he's $4,900 tonight on FanDuel. And he's a guy that, you know, he plays about 25 minutes a game. He plays on the top power play. He'll get loads of ice time, loads of offensive situations tonight. Philly's on a back-to-back as well. Philly hasn't looked that great at times this year either. I know Buffalo's kind of a weaker team, but if you're going to use players from them, you want to look for good situations, which is kind of one that they're in tonight, catching Philly on that back-to-back. And with Ristolainen being so cheap, it's kind of hard to get away from him considering how many minutes he gets. And, you know, he can rack up those block shots. He can get 3 or 4 in a game if you know, if things go well. So it seems like he has a pretty solid floor. And at his price, he's another guy that I'll be targeting.
Yeah, $4,900 on FanDuel. That's definitely a steal for a guy who's going to play half the game, as you just mentioned. Before we get you out of here, maybe another sneaky steal of a play, somebody who's fairly cheap that, you know, you can have put in and then you can get everybody else in your lineup who's expensive, and also throw a goalie or two at us before you get out of here.
Yeah, I think one guy that's I'm hesitating to use, but I want to use, is Pavel Zacha from New Jersey, just because New Jersey isn't that great of an offensive team. But he looks to be lining up on the top line tonight between Kyle Palmieri and Taylor Hall, which is obviously their two best wingers. Now, New Jersey threw us a curveball a few nights ago, and they changed their lineup at pregame skate to what they had during the morning skate. So I'm going to reserve judgment here until we actually see that lineup set to play tonight. But Zacha is really cheap. He's only like $3,000 on DK. So if you put him in, you can get access to, you know, the guys that you want to use, like maybe Tarasenko or Buffon or things like that. So he's one guy that if I'm looking to pay down somewhere, Zacha is definitely one of my big targets. I think in net tonight, there are a couple chalk options, but one guy that I'm really looking at for upside is I'm assuming Peter Mrazek is going to start for Detroit. Detroit's allowed a lot of shots this year. They haven't been very good defensively. I think that's kind of something that we all expected. But when you're playing on FanDuel or DraftKings, you want to get that goalie that can save 30 or 35, maybe even, if you're lucky, 40 shots in a night. Because, you know, even if things go poorly and he gives up 3 goals, if you can get those 30 or 35 saves, it kind of mitigates that risk. And, if things go well and he has that 35 save shutout, you're looking at massive upside and hopefully not with a high ownership rate.
All right, Michael, we really appreciate your time. Good luck with all your plays. Enjoy the puck tonight, and let's do this again sometime.
All right, thank you very much. Have a great day, everybody.
See you later. You too.
Great follow on Twitter, by the way, too, if you're a big hockey fan.
And great handle.
At Slim Cliffy.
Slim Cliffy.
Chicka chicka. Yes, I love it. No, and he's going to be all over those lines, as he talked about the last minute changes for New Jersey. He'll be all over that if he's not on that number one line of warm up. So give him a follow.
Give him a follow. And follow up with us in the third segment. We're doing NBA DFS on FST coming up. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. My co-host over here, very excited about the NBA season tipping off tonight, as am I. So we're going to get into some DFS plays right off the jump, Chris.
Yeah, let's do it.
Top 10 priced on DK right here. Mr. Steph Curry, KD, LeBron James, Damian Lillard, Uncle Drew, Kawhi, Melo, Kristaps, Dre, LaMarcus Aldridge.
That's a pretty good slate. I mean, there's only 3 games in the NBA. We got a lot of stars going.
A lot of big names there. It's kind of hard to do a stars and scrubs lineup when the scrubs are like real bad, like 15th man scrubs.
Oh, yeah,
but we're going to go with the top 2 guys, Steph and KD, and this is going to be a conversation that is happening all season. So Chris, tonight, who do you go with? Steph, KD?
I think you get them both in there. I think you do. This is going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I know a lot of people don't want to take Steph Curry number one in fantasy and redraft leagues, but I think he's still going to get it done. He's still going to be productive. He's still going to, even though he may not play, 40 plus minutes every single night, we're not used to seeing him play 40 plus minutes every
31
night anyways,
minutes,
right? I mean, he still gets it done with the points, the shot attempts. He's still probably going to average 5 threes a game.
Yeah.
So is Kevin Durant. They've looked awesome so far together in preseason. I think the biggest takeaway is just that a little bit down on Klay Thompson. That's
sure.
The thing. I mean, this guy is really only probably going to take open jump shots. He's not a guy that really contributes you know, with boards and assists. Maybe he gets a couple more with Kevin Durant there, but I think Kevin Durant's numbers don't really take a hit. I've already saw in preseason where everyone played, Kevin Durant took a bunch of shots, Curry took a bunch of shots. They both had over 28 points each. So I'm in with both of these guys. I think you got to play them, even though it's against the Spurs. I don't think they're as defensive friendly as they used to be. But Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are going to be in the majority of my lineups. And the exposure is probably going to be pretty high in tournaments.
I think given the choice, I'm going Steph just for the assist ratio, because I think that if the shots are, they fall a little bit for both Steph and KD, I think he is able to create a little bit more, drawing a little bit more attention. But both valiant choices. The next big choice that you have to make, LaMarcus Aldridge or Kawhi Leonard, who on the Spurs do you think is going to be the beneficiary tonight? For me, I'm going LaMarcus Aldridge.
Save yourself a little bit of cash.
You save yourself some money, and also it's a little bit of a defensive nightmare because San Antonio also added Pau Gasol, and I see him playing more in the high post, LaMarcus Aldridge posting down low, which means Zaza Pachulia is going to be guarding him, and I think that LaMarcus Aldridge is superior and he can exploit that matchup.
Yeah, and a lot of people are down on Aldridge too. Nobody wants to draft him because of Pau Gasol. I mean, Pau Gasol is near the end of his career. I know he had a good season last year, but I expect big things from Aldridge in his second year in San Antonio with no Duncan there. I think he really just plays a lot of minutes this season, so I think this game will be high scoring, and I think this is the game you want to target. I mean, we're also forgetting about a duo in Portland we're probably not even going to get to, probably arguably one of the best backcourts in the NBA in Lillard and McCollum, so I feel like them going up against Utah, maybe that's a little bit of a slower pace game. Utah likes to slow it down. They're great defensively too, so I think this is the game you need to attack, and Aldridge, saving yourself a bunch of money at $7,100, where I know if you want to go LeBron and Kyrie, how do you feel about that situation?
So here's the thing. I like LeBron over Kyrie, and
I mean, you get four of the big six in
your
lineups.
But I'm saying this knowing also that Kay Felder is out. So he's the backup point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's in the concussion protocol. So Kyrie is going to get a ton of minutes. But I also think that you have to consider in the season opener, he might be a little bit winded. I know that the preseason's for that, but the big guys don't play their usual minutes. And in some instances, this big three on Cleveland didn't even travel for preseason games. So I think it's going to be LeBron James. There's already been interviews where he's talking about MVP bids. So he's ready to go. I don't think that the Cleveland championship title was enough for him. He wants to be known as the greatest of all time, and he's so motivated. He even said when asked about the minutes, he's like, well, Steph won MVP, and he played 31 minutes a game.
Yeah.
So I think it's LeBron James over Kyrie tonight. And if you look at their numbers last season, LeBron James, 25-7-7 was his averages. Kyrie, 25 assists, 3 rebounds.
LeBron James is the best player in the NBA, in my opinion.
All, baby.
I don't even think it's close. It's just the thing with him is that he's so passive sometimes that he could just let Kyrie have a day. I mean, if Kyrie's hot in the first quarter, he can just keep feeding
just
him.
He's
like, go ahead, kid. You just keep going. So if I were to pick one of the two, for me, it's Kyrie. And again, you're saving yourself a little bit of money, $8,000 compared to $9,000. But if you want to get all these studs in, let's go. We only got about a minute. So let's talk about a couple guys. Courtney Lee is starting for the Knicks. You can't find a cheaper starter, really, in
shooting
the NBA
guard
going
is
tonight.
Rough.
Shooting guard is rough. And at $3,700, that's not too bad. If he chips in double-digit points, he can shoot from three. He can get you some assists. He can even get you maybe a couple steals here and there. He can really chip in across the board, so that's not bad. Also, Zaza Pachulia. I don't expect a lot from him, but this is a guy that averaged 9-9 last season.
Mm-hmm.
I know all of the points are going to go to everybody else, and there's only one basketball for Clay and for KD.
But sometimes Draymond does miss.
And I expect him to play about 25 minutes or so tonight. So if he can get me 9 boards, 9 points, I'm laughing. I move on. And he's fairly cheap, $4,000 for a starting center who can get you 25 DK points. It allows you to get all those studs in there. You want to aim for about 300 points. I think it's doable.
Interesting to note, there's 8 Cleveland players available at the shooting guard position. Does not bode well for balance in a team format, in a team game.
George Hill a shot, too.
Good luck tonight, guys.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.
Bye.